Do the mark.
Are we?
Ready to play ball? Put you in your clothes.
Good album, isn't it?
Yeah. Too bad I was two.
What make him feel
like? Ryan.
You probably were about two, huh?
It's the first, isn't your check? Somebody could have had it today.
Should have been in. I did it.
Let's call the meeting order. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Director Pipo, would you join me in front here before you take your seat, please?
While they're doing that, Carol, can you show for the record that all board members
absolutely
are present?
Absolutely. Excuse me. Roll call.
President Graves.
That would be me.
Vice President Simon.
Here.
Director Dawson.
Here.
Director Pipo.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Thank you very much. As you all probably know at this point, Director Pifo chose not to run for re-election this year, and so after 14 years, I believe, almost 15 years of serving the community here in Discovery Bay, from its inception all the way through where we are today, we would like to acknowledge you and thank you for your hard service. I personally thank you for what you helped me with, getting involved here and you know, acclimating me to the fun stuff. And I'm sure the community would back me in saying that you've done great things for Discovery Bay, and you've been a big part of where we've gotten to today. So thank you very much, David.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that.
I think we have the usual jacket, and it's not the pink one, so you're good to go there.
Should show it off.
Well, go ahead.
My parting gifts. Wow. make sure it fits. Oh wow.
Well, if you don't try it on afterwards.
Very nice. Looks like
you're kidding. Oh, you're kidding.
Got it. Wow. Very, very nice. Thank you.
That is cool.
Thank you. Just my size.
And the obelisk.
Oh my goodness.
For the trophy. For the trophy room. You must have a few of these by now.
Working on it. Let's take a look.
In appreciation for your dedication and commitment to the town of Discovery Bay, 1998 to 2010, with our sincere gratitude, the town of Discovery Bay.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome. And the ceremonial...
Spelled my name wrong. No, I'm kidding.
Don't say that.
Carol's about to die. Yeah. And for your past service as board president, in 2000, 2000, and 2007, the ceremony you got.
Wow, very nice. Thank you very much. That is beautiful.
But I'll give you the floor.
Well, thank you. I wrote a very, very short speech because I know how people love sitting through speeches, and this will probably take less than a minute. I wanted to take this opportunity to thank the people of this great community for allowing me the opportunity to serve, to shape, and to lead Discovery Bay for the past 15 years. Further, I'd like to thank the Board of Directors, past and present, for working towards a common goal here in Discovery Bay to make it a better place, to improve our community through better use of our resources. And I really mean that. We have a really good board, and I wish them all the best of luck. Finally, I wish to thank our staff, Rick, Virgil, hopefully I'll get them all right, that's why I made a list. Farron, Callista, Liz, Sue, Carol, Sherry, Joey, Esteban, Bob, and Gerald with Viola Water. They're the backbone to this CSD, and they're the individuals behind the scenes that make it all possible, and I feel like we're in very good hands with that support team. This has been the experience of a lifetime, and I thank you all for making it such a rewarding one. Thank you very much.
This is from Assemblywoman Joan Buchanan's office, a certificate of appreciation from the California State Legislature.
Wow, very nice, thank you.
And I think that's all you get, man. No, you get cake.
I get cake,
man. And we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to enjoy some cake, and then we'll go back to the meeting.
Whatever you want to do, I didn't do it. It's up to you.
I figured it's your last meeting. Enjoy.
Hey, I thought you were giving me that check. I was back in town. I could build something right about it.
Okay, I'd like to call the meeting back to order at this point, please.
Make sure everyone got cake.
No.
I'm real. We're in a rush.
I know. I had two pieces and I'm like, ooh.
At this point, whoops, now it's on. I can't remember what I'm doing here. At this point, I need to read something to the town, and I would. Well, anyway, yesterday morning, our legal counsel Mike McGrew collapsed at his home and passed away.
Oh.
His sudden death is a shock to all who knew him. Always the consummate professional, dressed in his suit and ever-present bow tie. Mike conveyed a level of confidence and knowledge of the law that was appreciated by this board. His quick wit, feisty nature, and genial personality will certainly be missed. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Mike's wife, Judy, and his family. Please join me in a moment of silence as we remember Michael F. McGrew. Thank you. Okay, this is a time for public comment. If anybody has anything they would like to comment in that is not addressed in the agenda, please come forward at this point to the podium and speak to that item. Perfect. I only say that because I've been on the road since like 4 o'clock, so I'm just...
Somebody else is in route.
Okay. At this point, we would ask our area agency reports. Let's start with, who do we have?
Anthony Fontenot.
Mr. Fontenot.
Sounds good.
I can't wait to see what happened on my street this month.
Good evening, everyone. Hey, my name's Tony. I'm a prevention guy out here in Discovery Bay. For November, we had 443 calls for service for the area of Discovery Bay, which generated these reports that I just handed out. I think there's 43 total. One was a written in error. Make that 42 in total, because another one was written in error in here too. Overall, we had 3 residential burglaries last month. All 3 of them involved some type of an unlocked window or door. There was no forced entry that we could see. Vehicles were left unsecured also. Items were taken. Garage door opener was used. Stuff was taken out of the garage. Other than that, I didn't see anything really outstanding or out of the norm here. I don't really want to call that norm because I wish we didn't have all this type of crime out here, but it's just property crime, so easy targets out here. Like I say before, lock your doors, windows, use an alarm if you have one, lock your cord, cars, vehicles, take everything out of it. Anything on here that you guys see that have a question on? Yes, ma'am.
On the next to the last page, I guess it is, down 3/4 of the way, it says petty theft. Was it from a car, a house, or what would that be?
We got the petty theft for Seal and Lido.
Yes.
I'll tell you.
I
And you're talking about the one on seal, right?
Yes.
I think they have them all blown.
Oh, I guess they do.
Yeah. Give me one second.
I thought they usually list addresses.
I'm just curious what, you know, if it's house or car or front yard or.
This was a regarding a having invited guests over the house and finding some medication missing from the. A lot of it, there's a few other ones like that where we had somebody in the house or guest in the house or over a period of time with friends over, certain items were missing.
Thank you.
What was the terrorist threat?
Terrorist threats is basically usually a domestic type issue. Husband, wife, or husband making threats to kill type thing.
See, I'll kill you.
No.
It's a terrorist threat. I believe we mentioned, I'd seen in the paper today something about an incident with a stolen go-kart. We're investigating that. We're looking into that, trying to find out the details. I'm going to try to put something together as a flyer with, I got a picture of it and all that. I'm trying to put something out here in the next few days to just put out an email on it. Maybe with the photo of the go-kart and such like that. I know Mark Spaulding was going to be here tonight to kind of touch base on that a little bit. He's kind of taking the lead on that and trying to figure out in more detail exactly what's been going on there. Initially, it came across to the Sheriff's Department at 2:30 or 2:15. Sometime in the morning, it was a CHP traffic collision involving a vehicle and a horse. And we didn't really get involved into it until that afternoon when we were told about a missing go-kart type vehicle. So hopefully we'll find out what's going on and get down to the bottom of exactly what happened and stuff. So hopefully we'll resolve that. Any issues, any concerns on the stats? If it's okay, I'd like to mention a few things that's coming up for me.
Absolutely.
I know Saturday we have the Parade of Lights. You guys, it's a big event out here. This year we're doing the Cops for Kid program, and if you're not familiar with that, last year we did it. It was a great event. And just to kind of tell you what happened, Cops for Kids program is what we team up with the Oakley Police Department and your schools out here. And we usually focus on 13 and younger kids. And the priority of the kids that we look at, we kind of get through the school system, the ones that are in need, as well as the ones that our officers come in contact with throughout the year. So these children that we do identify are really in need. I'm not saying that to say other organizations aren't focusing on that, but we see it firsthand. So we kind of keep a tab and list on that, and we what we end up doing is we collect unwrapped toys, and I greatly appreciate it. If you remember us on Saturday, I'll have a table out with some barrels if you want to swing by the office and drop off a donation of a toy or whatever you want to do. We'll be open there. I have my volunteers out. But what we do is we basically, last year we identified about 180 kids. 120 of them came from the Discovery Bay Area. This year, the list is even longer. And what we do is we invite these children and their family to a dinner, which we cook for them. We don't really make it a public, pictures in the paper and all that stuff, because we just don't want to identify the kids that way, because they are your kids, and we don't want them to be teased or pointed at. But we cook a nice hot meal. Last year we made pasta, salad, bread. We had a couple of stations set up where we had our volunteers doing cookie decorations for the kids, an ornament decoration for the kids. One of our officers dressed up as Santa Claus and was escorted in, lights and sirens. And we take pictures and print them out and give them to the family. And it's sad to say, that's sometimes their only picture they get for the year. And we always try to make more food so that these kids can bring home. Because these kids literally are stuffing in their pocket when they leave that afternoon. So it's a good thing, and it's kind of the thing that tips off to the officers at the end of the year, because to see what we're doing with the kids, to kind of, I make sure we get the officers out there in uniform as well as what we're doing. They take a picture with Ho-Ho or Santa Claus, and then we direct them into a room, probably maybe from here, this size here, and we put all the toys out. And we'll usually let the brothers, whoever we invite, let their siblings also pick a toy. So they'll walk in with their family and they're allowed to take one choice of toy anywhere on the floor. And then it's a good event, it's a great event, and it's really something good. So anyway, if you guys can remember us, I'll have a table set up. I think I'll put a barrel out by the Lions Club with the chilies being made also, and also at my office too. So please, if you can, I know times are tough this year and we got a lot of people with their hand out, so. And we should be blessed with what we
have. What's the date we need to have those things in by?
The event that we're going to do is going to be on December 17th. So anytime before December 17th, you can come by the office. I put a barrel at Aladino's.
Unwrapped,
hours.
Correct?
Unwrapped. Okay. And if you see an officer, flag him down, throw stuff at him, you know, whatever you want. Don't bring it to the office. So, all right, guys?
Thank you very much. All That's right. An awesome event.
Thanks.
Who else do we have here tonight? Come on up.
Hello, I'm Battalion Chief Burris. I will be giving you your monthly call volume and types of calls. As winter approaches, we start to slow down sheer call volume, but some of the call types tend to go up. We ran 39 medicals for the month of November, 2 structure fires, 1 vehicle fire, no vegetation fires or exterior fires, 4 auto accidents. People need to remember to slow down when it gets foggy. We're starting to see an increase of auto accidents throughout the district. Total 57 calls, down from 69 last month. Structure fires, everybody needs to remember, open your flues if you start having fires in the fireplace. If you have a house that doesn't have a brick chimney, that thing that your contractor told you was a fireplace really is not a fireplace designed to have wood burning in it. It's a tin-lined tube that's either double-walled or triple-walled, and if you burn Presto logs or hot fires, you will burn your box off the side of your house or catch fire. We've had quite a few fires in Discovery Bay and the surrounding communities because the realtor said, hey, this is a fireplace that you can burn wood in. And one of two things happens. They either burn Presto logs, which is a synthetic compound, a paraffin wax with pressed particle board, and that paraffin wax, because the fire doesn't burn hot enough to cleanly burn, it coats the inside of your tin line tube. Then the homeowner goes out and hires a chimney sweep who gets up on your roof and then aggressively sweeps that chimney and knocks it loose, and then you have a fire. Or you don't hire that chimney sweep, and at some point you get a hot enough fire, and all that wax decides to burn off at the same time, which is always exciting for the homeowner. The other option is the homeowner goes out and spends the money on good hickory or oak wood, and then gets a fire that's way too hot for that fireplace, and burns the chimney off the house. So, my advice, unless you're going to pre-plumb it with gas and have gas fires, that's what those boxes are designed for. Sorry. Does anybody have any questions? Doom and gloom, I know.
Don't start fire.
Well, thanks for spoiling the holiday.
You guys come out of your house calls?
Yeah. It's a real common misnomer. Just FYI, and I see some new faces. Your fire department is a county agency that is an overlapping umbrella of protection. So if you do get a fire in Discovery Bay, you will be calling units from as far away as Brentwood, Knightson, and depending on what size home you have, or if it's a commercial fire, even Antioch. And conversely, if we get a large incident in Brentwood, your fire engine will leave. So it's really important, if you do have some kind of emergency, dial 911. Don't drive down to the firehouse, which we still have that problem. Any questions? Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, on the incident that we talked about a little earlier, the horse being hit out here on the highway, or wherever it was hit, injuries to the people driving the vehicle, do you know anything about that?
Was not told, nobody.
Was it hit and run?
Yeah, I
thought it was hit and run, wasn't it?
I'm not sure, but usually you hit a horse with a car and you get killed.
They killed the horse.
They're top heavy.
Yeah, they are a little top heavy. Okay.
Just curiosity, hazardous conditions went from 0 to 7. What's a hazard? What is it? What is a hazardous condition, and how can we stop that from happening?
Hazardous condition can be anything from people taking cleaning out the fireplace and putting it in their garbage can.
When it catches fire.
And then it catches fire. Putting it in the garage. We've had several incidents where people put it in a Safeway bag, double line Safeway bag, and then put it in the garage. And then when they come home, the garage is full of smoke. Vehicles leaking fuel, people not turning up, opening the flue to the chimney, not replacing the batteries in their smoke detector or their CO2 detector, and then they start a fire in the fireplace and it sets off the CO2 alarm.
Okay, thank you.
It's just
it's anything other than a fire, pretty much.
Yeah, if people haven't fired up their heater in a while, and then they flip it on, and then they burn the belt out, the motor, fills the house up with smoke. They call, 'tis the season.
Okay. Any other questions? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't, is there anybody else here that?
Supervisor Peefel.
Chris Vannetti was gonna be here, but I think he got tied up on another
that's about and 6 months in a row.
Well, but he wanted me to convey that the next board meeting is next week, and so he will be here the next meeting instead.
Okay.
So he will be here the next meeting to
okay.
write a report from that meeting's agenda.
Karen, representing Supervisor Peefel's office.
Yes. And I'm sure, I think that I know most of you, but again, I'm Karen Cornell from Supervisor Peefel's office. I am her East County field representative, and I work in the Brentwood office. I would first like to add to the earlier recognition of Director Peefel, and from our office in the county, thank him for his extensive service and longstanding dedication and commitment to Discovery Bay and the county. And we look forward to recognizing him at an upcoming Contra Costa Board of Supervisors meeting. Next, it is that time of year again for the 2010 Holiday Food Drive. And again, it is an annual food drive for the Food Bank of Contra Costa and Solano County, and is taking place through December 31st. So you can send money or non-perishable food to our office. You can drop it up at either office or send money to either office. I do have a flyer for that. And again, the Contra Costa supervisors do have a friendly competition with Solano County, so we really want to raise more and earn more food than Solano County. And on another note, the Contra Costa County supervisors have a competition between themselves. So our district, District 3, which has won for the last 5 years or more, as long as I've been with the supervisor, has won. So we want to win. So District 3, we need to donate food and money. So I have a flyer for that, and also on the other side of the flyer are the dates for our holiday open houses, and the Brentwood Holiday Open House will be December 8th, starting at 5:30 at our Brentwood office, which is located at 181 Sand Creek Road, Suite L. So I will leave these, and again, on one side is the holiday open house information, and on the other side is the food bank. And then my last item is holiday spirit. Santa is coming to the Byron Airport this Saturday, December 4th at 2 p.m. He will be dropping in on the airport for a special visit. So I have a copy of the media release that the airport staff sent out. So if you want to go or take your children, a good holiday event. And lastly, we just from our office want to wish you a safe and happy holiday season.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Next, we have our consent calendar. Any questions about anything on the consent calendar?
No, and I'll make a motion to pass the consent calendar. I'd second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any comments from the public? Not hearing any. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. New business. I believe that we have some presenters here for our 09-10 audit. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. President. I have Mark. We have Mark Croce, principal of Croce & Company, as well as I know I'm going to botch this, but Pauline Sanguinetti, their senior manager, who's worked on our project for the past few years, and Mark is going to give us an update on our audit for the fiscal year 08-09. Or I'm sorry, yeah, it's 08-09.
It is 08-09.
Yeah, but the agenda read 9-10, but the typo is 08-09.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go through some of the audit report with you. I know it was in your board package, so I'm going to try to go very quickly. But if there are questions, I am more than happy to entertain any questions or be stopped and ask for more detail. One of the things is in flipping through the audit report, if we flip into page one, we can see the actual report from the auditors. This is from our office. This is our report on what we found in performing the audit. This is a clean opinion, which means this is the highest level of assurance we can give. It means that the report that we presented contains no material errors. We had no problem in gathering the data that was necessary to present the report, and that's what we're indicating here. So it's the best level of assurance that can be obtained from an auditor. Moving forward, we start on page two with the management's discussion and analysis. And again, I'm not going to go into great detail, but there are a few financial highlights. And this section is really kind of nice. It's something that was added or was a new requirement about 3 or 4 years ago. And it really puts into words what us accountants like to do in a lot of tables and numbers in the back. So it's kind of an English version of the financial report. But in the highlights, we can see that the district assets increased $16,204,000 over the prior year. And the big part of that is there was a $365,000 increase in governmental activities, which primarily relates to your lighting and landscaping districts. But the big increase was $15 million in your business type activities, which is water and sewer. The reason for that increase was the new sewer plant expansion that was deeded over from the Hoffman Company. So that's why we're seeing that large increase during the 08-09 year. In addition, we can see the total assets of the district were $42,877,000 and capital assets are $33,623,000 net of accumulated depreciation. Very logical for a community services district. Your main assets are your sewer and water treatment facilities and your lights and landscaping and other things that you have throughout the community. The remaining current assets of approximately $9 million are just comprised of receivables, cash, other things that are held. This district is pretty straightforward. You have your fixed assets, net of depreciation, some cash, some small amounts of receivables, and then a small amount of payables. There is no outstanding debt held by the town of Discovery Bay. That's about all I'm going to say in this area. I will let you know, we do talk more about the government type activities, the fund financial statements. It's a lot of accounting lingo, but you can read through that at your own leisure. Page four, we do have some comparisons year to year. Unfortunately, governmental accounting requires us only to present 1 year. So in the management's discussion and analysis, this district has decided to present some 2 year comparison data for the readers to be able to compare the June 30th, 08 fiscal year end with the June 30th, 09. Moving forward to page six, you're going to see some graphs and trying to depict the financial information a little more pictorially for people who like pictures more than numbers and words, trying to see where the revenue comes from, expenses are going to. Again, you can see in the governmental activities, which again is primarily lighting and landscaping, the majority of the revenue is property tax allocation followed by assessments. If you flip the page to page seven in the pie graph, you can see that in the business type activities, water and sewer, your main revenue sources are charges for services. It's water fees, sewer fees. Again, moving forward, we're gonna skip things a little bit and go over to page nine, and you're gonna see some of the capital asset activity. Again, we're kind of highlighting the main activity for the the year that ended June 30th of 09, and you're going to see a well and pump station that was added for $157,000. Of course, the wastewater treatment plant expansion, and then the vacuum truck that we were, or a vac truck, I should say, that was purchased, $253,000. And then there's a detail going forward with the land, buildings, and you know, kind of showing you year to year what happened with the fixed assets of the district. Moving forward from there, I'll flip over to page 11. You can take a look at your statement of net assets. This is essentially a balance sheet for government. It lists your assets, your liabilities in, you know, the standard terms that would be used in the regular for-profit enterprise. You can see your primary assets is cash and investments as far as current assets, and then of course your capital assets net of depreciation. There's a small amount of receivables for water sewer billings, some advances on taxes. This is an allocation from the county, and you had a small amount of inventory of just some supplies and things inside the office. Liabilities, again, for this district should be very proud, very little debt, no debt. Your liabilities are accounts payable, accrued payroll, deferred revenue, and some amounts due to other county funds. I mean, just very, very minor as far as liabilities go. On the next page, we'll flip over, and there is actually, you will notice a page that says Statement of Activities, but it has no number at the bottom, but the next page has a number 12 at the bottom. It's because these pages are intended to be facing pages when we present the final report. We're presenting a draft tonight, so if there are changes, we still can make changes. And this report intends to list your governmental activities, show the expenses, and the revenues that come in by activity. So you can see it costs you, for example, if you look down in lighting and landscaping zone 8, $358,000 to operate that district for the year, $11,909 for lighting and landscaping zone 9. Below that, your water and sewer costs $4,735,000 to operate, and you brought in a direct charge for service of $4,469,000. If you flip over to the page that actually has the 12 at the bottom, you can see that in operating these activities, on the total column, you can see what it cost you. Even though you charged for water and sewer, if you run the number across, you can see that it did cost still $256,000 after the water and sewer charges to operate that activity. And when you look at everything, including the lighting and landscaping, it cost you $636,639 net of charges for services to operate this district. And then below, you can see, how did you pay for this? Well, you're going to have to look at two pages here, but the numbers over here where you see the $570,000, the $5,000, the $87,000 represent property taxes, homeowners property tax relief, and assessments. So primarily it's through property taxes and assessments, and the user fees for water and sewer that this district is able to pay its bills, provide the services that it provides to the community. Moving forward onto the governmental funds balance sheet on pages 13, and followed by the statement of revenues and expenditures on page 14. Again, this is accountants doing accounting things. We are required to present your reports both on the full accrual basis of accounting, which would be very similar to a regular for-profit company. We're also required to present it on the modified accrual basis of accounting. Again, we get excited about that. Nobody else does. So we do it again. Same information, sorted in a different way. And this is only your governmental funds, which is primarily lighting and landscaping, looking at just their balance sheet, followed by their statement of revenues and expenditures. And in this sort, you get a little more detail as far as what the expenditures are. You know, like you can see that it was repairs and maintenance and utilities that were the primary expenditures for that governmental fund. On page 15, we reconcile this activity back to the front activity so that you can see that this report reconciles to the activity in the primary statement of net assets. Moving forward to page 16, we have a proprietary fund activity. Those are those water and sewer funds, and we have the balance sheet for just the water and sewer funds, followed by the income statement or statement of revenues and expenditures for the sewer fund. So again, and then following that, or actually that one, there is no reconciling item because the proprietary funds are reported similarly for the full accrual basis as they are on the fund basis. So again, same data, different sorts. We're required to include all different sorts in the report. On page 18, you have a cash flow statement. You can see money coming in, money going out of the district. Operations brought in $531,000, but at the end of the day, acquisition of capital assets and your final payments on some long-term debt, which you did pay off during the 08-09 year, cost $997,000 during the year of cash out of the district. Page 19 begins the notes to the statements. These are pretty straightforward. These are generally boilerplate notes that you're going to find in most community services districts. It's history of the district, information about the various funds. Again, not a lot of excitement. I'm not going to go into in detail. If we do flip over to page number 26 at the bottom, you can see the note on cash and investments. It does indicate how much cash the district is holding at June 30th of 09, followed by, on page 27, how that cash is broken out. You do have money held with financial institutions, money held with the Contra Costa County Treasurer, and you do have investments that are held by the district. You see below that what we have in the way of the investment types being bonds and CDs, and then we have a lot of disclosure relative to interest rate risks, how you can invest your money, etc. Short story is the district is investing very conservatively in a manner that's consistent with the California Municipal Code, and the district is not investing in activities that hold derivative financial instruments or other things that would put this district at high risk. So you are investing conservatively in full accordance with the California Government Code. Finally, I will let you know that if we flip, my page is moving here, beyond to the bottom of page 32. I'm not going to go through the capital assets again. You've talked about those a little bit. Bottom of 32, we talk about the long-term liabilities, and we can see that the note payable with Municipal Finance Corporation on the bottom of page 32, top of page 33, was fully paid off during the year ended June 30th of 09. Page 34 lists your insurance coverage, which we're required to list, a listing of the governing board, and a short note regarding commitments and contingencies, which is boilerplate again. I mean, this district does have, from time to time, litigation activity. It's in the normal course of operations. We don't believe there will be a material effect to the financial statements. And in addition, you do enter into contract services that are with various companies. They're generally considered fixed fee arrangements, but at any point in time, the district could discontinue work. Meaning, even though you've entered into a fixed fee contract, if the work hasn't been performed, you can stop the contract generally as far as what was outstanding at June 30th of 09. Aside from that, that was kind of a very quick overview of the financial report. I'm willing to entertain any questions that the board may have, and then I have just a couple closing comments from there.
Board?
Or the public, I should say.
We'll start with the board. Anything that you have, Ray? Mark? Brian? David?
No.
Just actually kind of curiosity issues.
Sure.
On page 12,
yes.
Which I believe is a one-page sheet.
Yes.
We have other income listed under both governmental and business-type activities. Do we know offhand what those are?
Other revenue, the $4,988 and the $5042.
Yeah.
Could be small sales.
That I don't know. I could go back and look. I don't have the detail on that.
Any idea, Virgil?
Could it be small sales?
I don't know.
It's not that.
We could pull the ledger.
On page 11, it's described as other income, and it's total on page 12, right?
Yeah, it's that $10,030.
Yeah, it's like a combined $10,030.
Yeah, those are.
Those t-shirt sales or what?
I think some of that is the community center sales.
Yeah. Okay,
and just business type activities. Yeah. I think it's refunds. You know, sometimes if you paid early or something came back, just like a credit refund on something, it gets posted into a miscellaneous income account.
I got something else circled here, too. Just one second. On page 17, under non-operating revenues, we have bad debt expense of almost $35,000.
That's correct.
We write that off every... We have that $35,000 worth of bills not being paid by the community?
Of bills of people, the residents who have lived here, and many of them are people that have left the community and left bills unpaid. There is an effort of collection, but at times there are accounts that are simply uncollectible.
Understood. Just wanted to clarify
that. It's surprising.
It seems like a lot, yeah. Well, especially when the water bill is only like 18.
I think a lot of it is on the property.
Well, I guess it would be foreclosures on properties and taxes not being collected. Is that where that's
It is
coming?
Not. This is all, this in the proprietary fund, it is water and sewer. So, it could be property tax not being collected by. Mm-hmm. Oh,
Liz, do you have an answer for me?
Some of that crosses over during the year where I bill before the end of the year and it gets paid in the following year. So it's not necessarily carrying total continuously.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Our actual outstanding debt of uncollectibles is very low.
And so what that does is that just carries from year to year and just records, but it's just a carryover.
Gets paid, some of them don't.
Okay. Right. Thank you for that. Because that just seemed high somehow for an $18 water bill to get up to, you know, the average water bill is 18 to 24 bucks or something. And a month.
If it's actively on the books and it's carried over, it's called a receivable, not a bad debt.
That's correct. Right. So this is money that is not collected. So
this can never be collected.
Okay, right? Well then.
That's what it's saying.
Right. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, this is. Pauline can start.
Right,
too.
I believe it was.
Excuse me, Pauline, we're being recorded. Can you come up to the podium and speak?
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
I believe it was some of the large water users. Some of those written off because they weren't. I don't remember if it was there was a large receivable that was from the restaurant.
Yep.
Right. And there was a couple of the larger users that when we discussed with Liz that it was believed that we were not going to get that money. So that was written off.
So it is truly written, right?
Yes. It's
truly bad debt.
It's truly bad debt.
It's truly bad debt.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that.
You know what, Kevin? That could also be there. Some disputed hookup fees up with that up there. That had some substantial money, and I'm pretty sure some of that.
Okay.
Permits and connection fees. Excuse me? Permits and connection fees that have not been paid. We can give you a detail.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to know if, you know, if that was if that number was truly bad debt or if that was some.
It was truly something that was.
Right.
Convey that you would not be receiving it. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I don't have nothing else jumped out at me at this point. Does comments from
one quick.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, just one quick comment to the board in the future that that is a pretty large number, and I know you guys have a workshop coming up. That's maybe something you guys could discuss on how to track that a little bit better, hone that down. So that instead of just saying, well, it's just money we're not going to get, there really should be an explanation. I realize that's not your position.
No, but that's a good point.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin.
Yep. Any comments from the public on the audit report or the draft of the audit report?
I got a quick question. When is are we going to incorporate Zone 61 in this in future years, or how is that going to work?
Defer that as far as
it'd be
is Zone 61 something new coming in?
Yeah.
That was for the next year.
Next year. I think it's the 09-10 year.
This is pretty old stuff. Yeah, okay.
And I wanted to comment to that too. I mean, the report is coming out at June 30th, 2009. We are now in December of 2010. Part of the reason for that is we do need to wait for Contra Costa County. They typically do not issue their final reports, and a number of this district's accounting is still handled through Contra Costa County. So the final June 09 reports were not issued until after January of 2010. So it is typically that our problem in getting caught up is primarily we are just now at a point where we're able to start the June 30th, 2010 audit. So we're hoping to move it quicker. But
you may not receive the information you need from the county until February of 2011.
That's correct.
I think I remember you guys sitting up here for days on end.
Yes. Yeah, that's what we did. But it's unfortunate because this district does handle some of its own accounting.
Sure.
The county does handle the remainder. Unfortunately for this district, some smaller districts were able to issue sooner because the activity is fairly easy and straightforward. There's not a lot of difference between what the county calls their period 12 or preliminary report and the final report. Unfortunately for this district, the county is still making journal entries to your June 30th report for June 30th, 2010 as we speak today.
Yes.
And the adjustments, the first year we thought, oh, this is no problem, we'll get it done early, and then the county came in and made adjustments after we had, you know, we're starting to look at the financial report. So we have learned that is not something we should ever do again.
Very well, thank you. Any other comments from the public? Not hearing any. I would like to thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Oh, I do have Mr. McGrew.
No.
McCleary, I'm sorry. Oh. Mr. McCleary.
In your management, MD&A, do you make any attempt to look at the financial condition of the community? For example, cash went down $100,000 during the period. Do you make any attempt to look at, for example, are our water revenues, is the billing rate adequate, things like that?
That's a good question. Now, that as far as doing like more of a performance analysis or comparison to other districts, that is actually not something that we are allowed to put into the MD&A. It's something that, you know, if the district would want to write that and add that in, that is something that could be added. Unfortunately, from our standpoint, we can't.
Through the chair, if it's okay. We do have a consultant that comes in that does that for us and does an analysis of our rate. Pardon?
The rate review.
Yeah, the rate review.
Yeah.
So we actually do that. It's just on a separate side of the...
That was the five-year plan that we saw?
Yes. Gary Hornberger?
Hornberger.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Again, thank you.
Thank you. And we wish to thank the district and especially the accounting staff, Liz and everyone, Calista, everyone that works with us. That was actually, you have a great staff.
Thank you.
That is very, very helpful and that makes this process go, you know, as smoothly as it does. I mean, you do have some complicated accounting with internal in the county, but your staff is definitely to be commended for all their help.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The just to close the loop on this, the final report will come back to the board once the auditors have taken the input from tonight's meeting, done their final review. It'll come back before the board probably in January. And that would most likely just be a consent item unless there's anything major to add on to it. Unless there's anything that would jump out at us.
Sure.
But I did ask him to footnote that
The bad debt expense
and put an explanation to it and also do a year-to-year comparison so we can have a comparison from prior years also. So
yeah,
will be in there as well.
I'm thinking that you're correct in your assessment that a lot of that was getting on board with the large water users. This is something that won't happen. I mean, they're all on board at this point, and we shouldn't have some of those issues coming forward again, and maybe it was a unique situation.
They were old. I remember
very old.
Many years.
Old.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to see detail. That'd be great.
Yep, no problem.
Thank you.
We'll give you that.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Rick. Item two.
Sorry.
This is an award of a contract for landscape maintenance services for landscape and lighting zone 9, Contra Costa Landscaping and Lighting Zones 35, 57, and 61 to Odyssey Landscaping. Farron has a presentation she'd like to make to the board. We did go to an RFP back in October. We did get six qualified contractors came to a pre-bid meeting, walked the sites. We did receive four proposals as a result of the RFP. We received three of them that came in on time. One of them, unfortunately for them, was about 10 minutes late and had to be rejected and returned to them unopened. So we don't know the results of what their proposal was, unfortunately, but the deadline's a deadline. So with that, if Farron wants to come on up and get the computer warmed up and going, the contract amount would be for $118,000 during the first year to two-year term. It's proposed that the contract be a two-year contract with 2 1-year extensions at the option of the district, so for a potential four-year deal. We get better pricing that way, and I think Farron's ready to go with her analysis of the different proposers, and the different in the pricing is on the very, very last page of the agenda item between Odyssey, Altamont Landscape, and True Green. I do want to mention that Odyssey was not the lowest price. They were the second lowest price by about $14,000 more than the low price. But but Odyssey brings a lot more to the table than does the low price. And so after an extensive review and analysis, staff felt that it was appropriate to go with Odyssey Landscape. So, Farron?
I may end up repeating some of that. I did want to mention that Rick had mentioned that we did include, originally, historically, we have five landscape zones. Those five landscape zones have been contracted under three separate agreements in the past. We're combining Zone 9 in with the county zones on this RFP because Zone 9 had not been under the district standards, the new landscape standards that we had done. It was on a temporary month-to-month basis since we took it over. It didn't go through the process of the other zones. Hey,
can I interrupt you for a second, Barry? Mm-hmm. Could you get a mic closer to you so we make sure this is recorded? As close as whatever we can do to facilitate.
I can stand over here for a second.
You just tell me when you want me to turn the page.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. In anticipation of the expiration of the Contra Costa County maintenance agreement, we did send out the RFP. Six contractors did attend our mandatory walkthrough. Rick already mentioned we got four back, one was returned. Soon as we got those, we opened them up, started checking for completeness. Staff, Sue, helped out immensely with this because we were kind of on a deadline. I do want to thank her, even though she's not here. We did telephone interviews with every reference that was given on all three contractors. We also took random sites from their references and did on-site reviews, took pictures of that, which I'll show you some, go through these in a little bit. And kind of reviewed what the proposal outlined in what our RFP requested and what their knowledge and experience was and what they could bring to the table. After considering all of that, we are recommending that the contract does go to Odyssey. And it was mainly because their proposal outlined a management plan and experience that could bring a large benefit to the town. For example, their crew sizes that they're proposing is twice the size as the lowest bidder. They also are proposing a dedicated irrigation technician, and they have knowledge and experience with the evolution systems that are heavily on that side of town. They also have successful municipal experience and a water auditing certification. I can tell you right now, just a little side note, the water program we put in at Cornell Park over the third period from this year to last year has saved half of the cost. So if we can get a company who has a water auditing experience and knowledge of the EP system, and we could potentially save money in those districts on our utility bills. I do want to point out too that the costs all across the board, even from the low bidder, went up from what the costs were previously. The current contract cost for the Contra Costa is $5,460. Zone 9's is $2,920, which was a total of $8,380. Even the lowest bid was higher than that, and that is because we did modify our landscape standards since the last time this went out. We're asking for a higher standard of care. We have suffered losses in our landscapes, not only because of the natural problems that we have with our soils and our water conditions, but mismanagement of water and lack of maintenance, and not just with our new our contractor before we even took it over from starting back from the county. So we really want to preserve what we have and ask for a higher level of maintenance and standards. And so what we have written into the RFP is more than what we had before. I'm going to go through the pictures real quickly. Oh, Rick. This is the first one. This is the first park I visited from Odyssey Landscaping. Both of their parks I visited were for the city of Lathrop. One was an older park. This is an older park. Looks about the same age as Cornell. It's a community park. Impressed with their clean edges. Everything was pretty green, especially for this time in town, this type of season. You will see some color differences in there, but it's mainly just different grasses. There didn't look like a fertilization problem.
it was pretty good. I think that when we get into the tree viewing pictures, and I'll just point it out here, that I didn't really like the tree wells, and I don't know what the what their contract is, but we would ask for more than that, than what you're seeing here.
Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. We're going to be looking at the same park again. I just have a few pictures from each, and I'll go quick. Here, this is just a shrub bed. Even though you're seeing some minor droppings from the roses, it is that time of year again, so that's natural. But the, I saw zero weeds at this park. I could not find one to take a picture of to bring back to you. It was very clean. Things were naturally pruned when they needed to be, and it looked like they were hedged when they wanted it to be. So near buildings, larger shrubs, it had a nice appearance. So I was really impressed with the park on this visit. Again, here's the building, and those shrubs are not naturally pruned. They are hedged, but they have a natural form to them, and it does look nice. So it fits and suits the area. This is the second park. Again, I was really impressed with how clean their edges were, even for their valve boxes. You don't always see that, and I didn't see any damage to them. And a lot of times when you go in and people are keeping their edges clean on soft surfaces or hard surfaces inside the landscape, you'll find that they don't know how to run their equipment and they'll break your boxes and or lids will be missing. Or so general overview of the park. Again, all of the shrubs are very uniform. I do want to point out, too, that during the telephone interviews that the city of Lathrop had said that they'd only been in their parks, they'd only been contracted for 6 months. However, they were extremely satisfied because the parks were in deplorable condition before this, and I couldn't tell. I mean, they said that they brought this and really turned it around. So as far as that goes, it was very impressive. Same thing, very uniform hedges, no weeds, no trash, very clean. This is True Green. It's a little unfair because it was leaf fall. I'm sure it's not messy like that. I'm just trying to get an overview of what we're looking at in this older park. Their tree wells were immaculate, though. This is the second company. This is your low bidder. And the tree wells were great. I could say that. The grasses, and it may be hard to kind of see here, but they're full of clovers and other types of invasive grasses that you really don't want to see in your turf. Not something I would want to see here. Also, this is a hill. This is some scalping that you'll see on the side of the hill. It should have been mowed with a smaller mower or
Where was this park located? It's okay.
No. I know. I went to another. I'd like to say it's in Fairfield.
Okay.
Sorry, they're both in Fairfield.
Okay.
And but it just didn't get the same care of maintenance. Mm-hmm. Second park I went to, the first thing I saw walking in was what looks to me like mower damage to the one on the left to the valve. That's typically what happens when you run them over. And the second one looks like maybe a repair that they had tried to do or to clean up, but it was not done properly. To me, this is a huge red flag. It's a hazard. It wasn't coned off. It was near a playground. It was a problem. Again, the tree wells, I had to say, looked really good. But again, we had clover issues and just the general turf. The color was good. I didn't have any problems with that. But there was a lack of detail that I saw. Overview again. Neither of the parks, we picked them randomly, so I didn't really get to see a lot of shrub beds at either one. They were both pretty mature, but turf is your number one indicator, I think. As long as you have good turf, you could kind of stand behind your product. Had some issues. So, do you have any questions? I am, like Rick said, I am asking to recommend that we award the contract to Odyssey. I guess the technical term would be to direct us to negotiate and execute a contract with Odyssey that would not exceed a monthly amount of $9,855. It's a two-year contract and would include 2 one-year extensions to be exercised at the option of the district.
David?
Yes. Well, first of all, I would make that motion. And second of all, I have a quick question.
I'll second it before you.
Okay. Thank you, Ray. You mentioned a potential savings with the one company, and because their bid's a little bit higher, I guess I'd be curious, ballparking, what are you thinking of potential savings?
And
maybe just put that in layman's terms.
We saved about $1,600 in one season at Cornell Park, or one quarter, one billing cycle. If we, and really there's only two a year that are heavy use, so if we saved, you know, $3,000 at our large parks, you're looking at $6,000 on utilities. That district has three large parks, actually, so you could potentially, if we cut those bills in half, and actually the bills in that district were more, like I can say Ravenswood bill was, I think, $5,400 third quarter, so if we saved half of that, we're looking at $2,600 for one.
And that would just be ongoing forever.
One park.
I mean, that would be
continuously.
Right. So actually, that could be a net savings over the long run.
Yes. We also have the park and ride. I mean, there's a lot
right.
of turf, more turf in that
right.
in that district than on Zone 8.
Okay. Thank you.
Brian, any questions?
No.
Ray?
Yeah, Valleycrest didn't.
They were late.
that was 10 minutes
yes.
late. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should know better.
Mark?
No, I'm pretty satisfied.
Just a couple. If you go to the summary page for me, Fern.
Yep.
A couple of things that jump out. I mean, one thing especially that jumps out at me, and that would be Zone 61 4E. Where and you know, I've been comparing the numbers across, and I can see where, you know, your Altamont's considerably higher almost straight across the board, but the ratio seems to be, that one seems to be the one that's way out of proportion. Mm-hmm.
For Odyssey?
Yeah.
Well,
for compared to the other two, whereas there's no proportional.
Well, I think it would depend on what they decided to break it off as, because Bixler Road has the park and ride inside of there, and some of them may have gone in and said, we're going to bid the park and ride as the shrub beds only,
okay.
And he may have not added, because if you look at his park and ride, it's higher than True Green, so he may be putting his turf mowing into the park and ride and only doing shrub pruning.
Great. Okay. And the other thing was, I was just curious who the latecomer was. And you have no experience with either three of these at this point.
I know of them all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really relying on the references and what they said and the experience with the municipal districts and cities and
Altamont could lower their prices if they quit sending me emails all the time. I don't know why I get emails from Altamont Landscaping, but I get these. You know what I'm talking about? Those updates they send out like once a month or something comes to my. I don't know how they got my email address.
On our contract, it's a year contract or 2 year.
It's a 2 year. Proposed 2 year contract.
If for non-compliance, do we have an out?
Yeah, that's standard.
And is there an accelerator in there? Is this a fixed number for 2 years based on our desire to renew, or is there an accelerator in there for
No, I think that there was something. Yeah, I think that after the 2 years that there, if we choose to extend, that there is.
This is a 2 year locked in price.
Yes.
$98.55.
Yes.
Okay. Any other discussion by the board? Any discussion from the public?
Just to note that the savings that you have would be obviously water usage,
mm-hmm.
which is generally at nighttime that most of the usage is, so it would benefit the district for doing that. Then it takes less pressure, meaning off the system, pretty
mm-hmm.
much at nighttime, most of our landscaping throughout the community utilizes most of our water. And so it some areas of the town gets a little lower in pressure-wise. So this really helps out what she was doing with the evolution system and the EC system.
Thank you, Virgil.
I'd just like to say, as usual, well done.
Good
presentation.
You know, I should have, thank you, Ray, for acknowledging that, because we're getting so used to your efficiency that we take it for granted now. But I mean, I'm not yanking you. This is great. I'm a numbers guy. When I can look and I can see trends and compare numbers like that, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I really,
well, if you guys ever talk to Sue, she helped put this together. So.
We will make sure that we get that.
We appreciate
to her.
The visual as well.
And thanks for taking the time, and thanks for the presentation. Rick?
I just have one thing to say with respect to this process that Barron's worked on, and she worked on it closely with Michael McGrew. And, you know, I've been in this business a long time, and this is probably this RFP process that she did. She brought something unique, something creative to me. We talked about it with Mike. We went and did it. It's a little different for us to be doing it this way. But I got to tell you, I am so impressed with just the homework that Farron and her team did in doing this. And I just want to thank that publicly from my perspective. Going out and visiting these parks and calling each and every reference is not very common. So I just wanted to say that she went above and beyond. This is a big deal for us. And we're taking it to the next level.
Right.
And so I just wanted to give her some confirmation on that.
Great, thank you. Thanks again, Farron. Excellent. Great presentation.
Can you stop?
We're gonna do that now.
Way to go.
So hearing no more discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And that is for voting for Odyssey to be our contractor of choice. All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Great job. Okay, that's all we have for items. Any committee reports?
No,
I do not have anything to report tonight. Are there any director's comments?
I got it.
Brian?
I attended the last school board meeting, and the one thing that might be of interest to anyone with kids is that they accepted the calendar for the 2011-2012 year, and what the Byron Union School District is trying to do is try to have their schedule be more in line with Liberty. So that's one of the things that they're changing over from last year to this year. And Carrie Murayama was given a graceful. Everyone had said really nice things about Carrie. Yeah. She's living in Carrie.
Exactly.
So,
also a new question on that, Brian. You're talking about the entire district. That would be the elementary as well as the middle schools are going to try to line up
with the Liberty.
It's about time.
Right. Yeah, it's way about time.
Because kids in different ones, it's never worked out. I'm glad to hear that they're
going to. Yeah, the other thing that went on is that they are about to start negotiations with the two different unions for the 2011-2012 year. So they.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Is that the extended report?
Well, I'd also like to say. I didn't get a chance to say earlier, but I'd like to thank David Pifo, who is leaving us, for he's been very helpful to me in helping me learn a lot of things and to understand the history of the district over the last year. And I really appreciate the time and effort he took in answering my questions, and I just wanted to say thanks.
Thank you, Brian.
David, did you have something?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that. I'm not sure the date. It may be tomorrow, but the Excelsior School over in Byron, they're switching their entrance, which will be off of J4 now, or no longer on J4, where it's been kind of a traffic hazard, that button hook turn.
Mm-hmm.
It's now going to be off of Bixler, I believe, where it wraps around. So that's
Fire.
I'm sorry, I stand corrected. And I think they're doing a ribbon cutting here pretty quick.
I think the ribbon cutting was today, and the road becomes operational tomorrow.
Fantastic. It's just good.
Well, yeah, they got, as far as that got behind, they got that paved pretty quick.
They really did.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, that was it.
Thank you. General manager's report.
No.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're still going.
Ray, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I started coming to these meetings in 1999, and I was on the board in 2000, so geez, David.
It's been a long time, right?
You know, there's been many ups and many downs, and I have learned a lot, and, you know, we've had our times, but it's going to be different without you, and you know what? Good luck on everything else you do, bud.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it.
Mark?
I was going to wish you the best. Also, certainly we've had our moments.
That's what it's about.
But you've put in a lot of years in here, and I do wish you the best. I hope that
thank you, Mark.
Goes on to something bigger and better.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Did I get the whole board there this time? Carol, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Carol, did you have anything?
We're going to miss you.
Okay, general manager's report.
I'm going to echo those words, David. It's been a pleasure for the short time I've been here to work with you. I've appreciated the information, your support, and your help that you've given me in the past 6 months, and I'm going to miss your support. Moving on, I just wanted to, for those of you that don't know, Dan Schroeder will be, good news, bad news, I guess. I don't know really how to put it, but we'll be taking Mike's place from this point forward. here at the district. Dan's got a lot of history with us, probably knows Discovery Bay more than any other attorney with this firm, and I think that we're in good, capable hands with that. Today we had visiting us Michael Fisher from the State Water Quality Control Board, did their annual compliance inspection today of our water treatment plants.
Wastewater
treatment plants. He arrived about 10 a.m. and left about 4:30 this afternoon. Just real quickly, I received an email from Gerald Smart late this afternoon. I'm not even sure if Virgil's even seen this yet. It was conveyed to Gerald that from Michael Fisher that there was significant improvement over the last two inspections. There won't be any surprises in the Water Quality Control Board's report. They were happy with the records and thorough lab data. They were just generally appear to be very happy. And I will say that with a caveat in that we won't get the final report for about 6 to 8 weeks. So while it may look good now, you never know what they're going to say at the end. But they did tell us we need to remove two weeds from one of our ditches. So I think that'll be on the agenda here soon. Our board agenda, but on Violi's agenda to remove a couple weeds. So we're very happy that they were out today, and hopefully we'll get a positive letter from them in the next couple months.
We're on
this. That's all I have.
That's great. Sounds like that relationship's really going to come together. Legal counsel.
Mr. Chairman, board members, members of the public, thank you for your comments and your thoughts for my colleague and friend Mike McGrew and his family. I will share those with his family and my colleagues when I return to work. I would ask that item number one be continued to the next meeting. I was, quite frankly, not made aware of this agenda item until this afternoon, and I would like a little bit more time in which to prepare so that I'm more versed in the issue so I can address any questions that you or members of the public may raise.
Okay. Is that taken?
This is in response to the auditor controller's report.
Right.
And their their comments that they made to us. There is a memo to the board from Mike that is in there. It's a three-page memo that addresses the auditor controller's concerns in his report.
I got you.
And Dan,
absolutely.
And due to the circumstances,
absolutely.
Just is not up to speed.
Just a quick comment.
Yep.
Yeah, it's my understanding that's not a report. That's a letter to four individuals. It was not an auditor's report. Seems to be some confusion about that.
True.
You are correct on it.
Thank you.
That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Correspondence is listed there. Any future agenda items?
Yeah. The one we talked about at the last meeting, Rick and I talked about it. Can we try and get that onto the next?
Yes.
What would that be?
That would be to stop taking cash. And then,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, we need to get onto an agenda item here pretty soon. The chairman of the community center board committee is leaving. We need to redesign and reappoint and
you guys do that.
I think you guys told me that every time I bring it up.
That's all right.
Okay. Well, I go to bring it up one more time.
You're the one who told me last meeting.
Huh?
You're the one who told me.
I'm an idiot. It's on the record. I'm an idiot. Huh? That's okay.
Careful.
That's going to be in cyberspace. Nobody disagrees.
One person arguing.
Okay. Any other future agenda items?
Yes, I have on there under item L1. I'd like to discuss with the board and our board member-elect, Chris Steele, who's here this evening. I would like to schedule a planning and goal-setting workshop for the first part of next year, January, early February at the latest. What I'd like to do is have a goal-setting workshop with this board so that as we start to head into the budget process, make sure that we're all pulling in the same direction, number one. Number two, it gives staff a good idea and a better understanding of where the board wants to go in the future so that we can propose projects or propose items to bring before the board. And also it provides a good opportunity for the public to participate in the process as well. And so I'd like to do that preferably at a Saturday morning. I'd like to do it, if it's okay with the board, off-site, out of this, not here in this building, but somewhere else in Discovery Bay, possibly over at the, maybe we can get a room at the Country Club, maybe they'll give us a room over there or something like that. 9 to 12, 9 to 1 on a Saturday morning, coffee, croissants, that sort of thing. And so if you have any dates that you can't make it, if you can let us know, and I will ask Calista to send out an email tomorrow or the next day with some proposed dates. I think she left, but with some proposed dates for the workshop. But probably get through the first week of January. I don't know vacations and schedules and things like that, but that's something that, if it's possible.
I would just encourage us to get that confirmed as soon as possible. Yes. So we can get the word out to the community in at least weeks in advance to give the community an opportunity to be involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Does anybody have any date that you know that just absolutely won't work?
The first week in January.
Okay, the first week of January.
I'll do it after the 15th.
After the 15th, okay. Maybe we'll try and schedule that. I don't have a calendar for me. I apologize. Maybe we'll try and schedule that for that first Saturday after the 15th then.
22nd is open.
There's so. The 22nd is our State of the Town event that I'll announce at some point.
That's an evening.
Yeah. And one of you guys is going to be speaking.
Well, the 15th is a Saturday then, if the 22nd is a Saturday, right?
Yeah.
15th is a Saturday, so, but I can't make the 15th.
Okay.
Super Bowl.
Not January 15th.
No.
Oh, yeah. Super Bowl. That's right.
Okay. 29th. So let's shoot for the 22nd then. And just as a pencil placeholder, and we'll confirm that, and we will confirm it to the community at the next board meeting on the 17th.
Thank you for that, Rick. Hearing no other items to be discussed, I would like to adjourn this meeting in the honor and memory of Michael F. McCleary. The installation will be the first meeting in January.
Okay.
That's the tentative as far as I've heard. I'm just getting that discussion going out, but that's what I heard.
I believe it's the first meeting. We're here at noon on Friday for the firing squad.
It's been a long time. Yeah. Better than something.
Hey, my buddy is from
Lomé. Oh, he is, man. I just went home. And he gets all over me. Oh, yeah. Well, I've been out of town. I think about my buddy. That buddy, too.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. Yeah, well, again, I will continue to go back all the hours. They'll never stop. It really has. I was kind of reflecting on it today.
It's a huge thing put on our shoulders.